Good morning. I'll be reading the scripture this morning. It comes from the book of John, chapter 9, and it's a long story, so settle in, get some coffee. Verses 1 through 38. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It is not my fault that that story is that long. Blame the people who were dense and didn't want to see who Jesus was. Would you pray with me? Oh God, in this moment, as we come in from the dark clouds outside, the rain, the storm, into the peace and the calm and the quiet of your holy place. We ask that you would open our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may hear you and see you and believe in you. May we know more fully during this time what it means to believe. Oh God, I ask that you would convey your message through me to your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Are we blind? Are you blind? Wait, are you blind? Am I blind? Are we blind? This is such a rich passage of Scripture. And that Jesus and his disciples happen upon a man who has been blind since birth. Disciples ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because surely someone must have sinned for him to be like this. That was the thought of the time. And Jesus answers, neither. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. What does Jesus mean by that? Is he revealing that it isn't sin that causes this person to suffer so? That the healing of the man born blind reveals Jesus' power? Is he saying that this man will reveal who God is to those he encounters, not just because he was healed, but because he will believe in Jesus? Some combination of the three. This is Jesus we're talking about. He almost always means something more than exactly what it says. Everything always has a deeper meaning. Jesus then does something gross. He spits on the ground, and then it gets worse. He picks up the dirt and the saliva, and he rubs it together into a paste, a mud, and he smears it on the blind man's eyes. No thank you, Jesus. And Jesus tells the man to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he does, he is able to see for the very first time in his life. Imagine what that moment must have been like for him. He's dealing with brightness, light. He's seeing for the first time color. He knows what people sound like, what things sound like, but he's never seen them before. And so he's seeing the world in a different way for the very first time. And this man, who's just coming to understand what it is to have physical sight, has to testify to what happened in his encounter with Jesus for the first time, to his neighbors. They can't believe this man before them, and the one who had been blind since birth and could only beg to provide for himself are one and the same man. He then appears before the Jews in the synagogue who question him. He is forced to tell what happened over and over and over again. He tells him, Jesus put mud in my eyes. He told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and now I can see. At first, they don't believe either that this is the man who was born blind, but that this is some sort of trick, and it's really a completely different man. They go so far as to bring the man's parents before them. And they ask them, is this your son? And they say, yes, this is our son, but don't ask us about that Jesus fellow. Ask our son, leave us out of it. The Jews are angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. A man of God would observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. But how can a sinful man perform such a miracle? It's quite the conundrum. One thing they do know, this guy, Jesus, he is not the Messiah. The Messiah would never do something like this, so Jesus can't possibly be the Messiah. The man is questioned about what happened again and again, and by the end of it, he's pretty tired of telling the story over and over again. I'm like, I already told you. Why don't you just believe me? And finally, he says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And then the Jews who are questioning him get mad because this man, who obviously is a sinner because he was born blind, and why else would you be born blind in the first place if you weren't a sinner? So this man, he shouldn't be teaching them who are righteous. They drive the man out of the synagogue just like they do anyone else who proclaims Jesus the Messiah. But the story doesn't end there. Oh, but you wish it would, because we'd be out earlier. But no. Here is the rest of the story. Jesus talks to the man who was formerly blind again, having heard that he had been driven out of the synagogue. He finds him and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man says, who is he, sir? Tell me so I can believe in him. And Jesus says to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. And this man, who had gone from being blind and never knowing what a person looks like, to seeing color, shapes, things, people, is in the presence of the Son of Man, and he looks at him and says, Lord, I believe. And he worships him. Not a bad way to start out seeing, huh? Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. And the Pharisees insert themselves in the conversation, and they say, surely we are not blind. We're righteous. Surely we're not blind, right? And Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. This is Jesus' version of a mic drop. So let's unpack the entirety of this passage a bit. The Jews say that Jesus is a sinner because he heals on the Sabbath. They do not believe that they are blind, but that they see. They do not believe that they are blind, but that others are. The man born blind moves from calling Jesus a man to a prophet, to from God, to Lord, as the passage unfolds. Over the course of his interactions, the man moves from blindness to sight in more ways than one. The Jews were driving out of the synagogue anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah. The formerly blind man doesn't actually say Jesus is the Messiah, but he is driven from the synagogue because his testimony supports Jesus being the Messiah. But this is who Jesus says he actually is in this passage, just in this passage alone. He says, I am the light of the world. He calls himself the Son of Man. And he says about himself, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see and those who do see may become blind. We see this over and over again. The people who should have been able to see and believe Jesus best were the ones who tried to change the Son of God into an image they could understand and with which they were comfortable. They only saw a facet of Jesus, that he was a man who healed on the Sabbath. They were blind to who Jesus was as a whole. They were the ones with mud in their eyes. A man who did not know Jesus prior to his healing was better positioned to see the real Jesus than those who knew the scriptures backwards and forwards and had dedicated their lives to following what it says there. Now, here's my question for us this morning. Is it possible we, the church, are blind to who Jesus is? Is it possible that we, the church, are blind to who Jesus is? Well, if we aren't, then I can end the sermon now. So you're going to say yes, but no. Who do we Christians say Jesus is? What does our community, the church, say about him? These are going to be generalizations, but I want to describe three different Jesuses we worship. Jesus number one. Jesus loves, forgives, affirms, shows us the right way to love others, has compassion, is patient, restores, teaches, and serves. It's Jesus number one. Jesus number two. Jesus challenges, shows us the way to live morally, is the Word made flesh, shows self-control, redeems, calls people out, teaches and serves. And finally, Jesus number three. Jesus ends up looking like a mesh of some aspects of Jesus number one and some aspects of Jesus number two, but he definitely teaches and serves. All three can agree on that. The reality is that Jesus is all of these things from all these different perspectives, but he's a lot more than that. How we determine who we think Jesus is has a lot to do with who we are. What makes sense to us and what we're comfortable with. We shape our image of Jesus around our own image. We shape our image of God around our own image. We transform our God into our image when we should be allowing ourselves to be transformed into the image of God. We should begin to look more like God. Anne Lamott famously said, "You can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do." It's funny because it's true. Last week we began our sermon series talking about community. The series seeks to address the overall question of why church? Why is community so important when it comes to our faith? And we began by talking about the Holy Trinity and that God in and of God's self is community. Three persons described in Scripture as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, among other things, who are of the same essence. We are made in the image of God, which means we need to experience that same sense of community, a being of the same essence that God experiences in order to be the image God created us to be. And in this sermon, we begin to demonstrate how in order to be in more perfect communion with each other, we must be in community with God. Specifically today, we're talking about Jesus. In order to be in more perfect communion with each other, we must begin to look more like Jesus. And that starts by us not forming Jesus in our own image, but being conformed to his. We look like Jesus, and not Jesus looks like us. We look like Jesus, not Jesus looks like us. Here's the truth. Jesus does love and forgive and affirm, show us the right way to love others. He does have compassion. He is patient. He restores. He teaches and serves. But he also challenges, shows us the way to live morally, is the word made flesh, shows self-control, redeems, calls people out, and so much more. When we conform Jesus to our image, when we make him into someone we can fully comprehend, like, and doesn't make us uncomfortable as we seek to be more like him, we aren't actually believing in the Jesus who lived, died, and rose from the grave. We are believing in ourselves. We become our own God. To truly believe in Jesus, we have to believe in who he really is. All of him. Not just aspects of him. Believing in Jesus requires us to constantly study Jesus our whole lives long. And as we do that, the eyes of our hearts are opened more and more to the places and times in which we are not very much like Jesus at all. It creates a deeper appreciation and love for Jesus. And when we engage in this discipline of allowing God to open our eyes to who Jesus really is, rather than keeping our hearts closed and conforming God to our image, we experience deeper community with God and with one another. This is just one of the many reasons why church is so important. Left to our own devices, Jesus starts to look more like us than we do like him. But when we come together with people with different personalities, perspectives, and experiences of the world and God, we come to a deeper understanding of who God is. We fall more in love with the Holy of Holies. Our lives more accurately display who God is and what that God deserves, and why that God deserves all the glory. So as we move forward, here are some things for us to think about. Are we blind? Are we blind? More than just on Sunday, take time to evaluate our blind spots. Take time to evaluate who we believe Jesus to be. And then read scripture on a regular basis, not just on Sunday mornings, and spend time in community with others doing the same. And then finally, allow God to open the eyes of our hearts to the real Jesus and believe in him more than we believe in ourselves. It's interesting to watch all the characters in this story. We have Jesus, disciples, the blind man, his parents, the Jews, specifically the Pharisees. And everyone who encounters Jesus they learn more about him as they go. And some become more closed off to him and more blind. And others begin to see him more and more. But when we look at the disciples, we see those who start off just following this guy, who over time get to know him more and more through his teachings, his preaching, his miracles, then through his suffering, death, and resurrection. And then afterwards, they are still learning more about who Jesus is. It's not something that ever stops. It's continual. It's continuous throughout their lives. And so may we, who are gathered here in this place, in this space, this particular time, never stop trying to get to know Jesus. The real Jesus, not the one we want him to be, but who he actually is. May we never seek to stop learning who Jesus is. More fully trusting in the grace offered to us through him. And showing Jesus to ourselves, and to others in our community and beyond. May God open the eyes of our hearts so so that we might not be so blind. Amen.